This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Today's scripture lesson is on the lengthy side, so Sarah and I are going to read it in tandem, I guess, or one responsively. That's right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to read this responsively. Let me take just a moment here. Let's remember, the Gospel of John is written 90-95 AD, somewhere in that period. So 60 years after Jesus is crucified. And by this time, Christianity has sort of caught hold. And there is an effort in many of the synagogues to push out the Christians. No, you're not really Jewish if that's what you believe. If that's what you're going to believe, you can't be Jewish. You have to go and be your own group. And we see some of that reflected in the scripture lesson. You know, if you didn't know better, you would think John was anti-Semitic because he really does have some very hard things to say, especially when we get over to the crucifixion, about Jews and Jewish leadership, and in this instance, the Pharisees. But remember, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus has conversation with the Pharisees, but the Pharisees also invite him home for dinner. Okay? So they are not uniformly bad people. I just want us to bear that in mind as we make our way through this text. That being said, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. As he, Jesus, walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eye, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see.
The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know."
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight.
He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What did you say about him? It was your eyes he opened."
He said, "He is a prophet."
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?"
His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him."
So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner."
He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, I now see."
They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?"
He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?"
Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from."
The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one that worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins. Then are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him."
Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. And the one speaking with you is he."
He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him.
Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind."
Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?"
Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, sunglasses. Huh? Jennifer just gave us a nice thought piece about sunglasses. And how do we see, and what are the things that keep us from seeing well? And you know, there are lots of good reasons to wear sunglasses. You're playing sports outside, you might want to wear a pair. And if you're driving in the bright sun, then sunglasses can be handy. Sunglasses can make a fashion statement. And sometimes they can be part of an iconic look. And sometimes, let's face it, sunglasses are just cool. Especially if you're a little band from Texas. Sunglasses can be very, very useful. But sometimes, they can be a real hindrance. Sometimes, we do better to take them off. Jesus and the disciples are walking down the road, and they see a man who has been blind from birth. "Teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents?" You know, without the benefit of modern science, ancient religions struggled to explain things like being born blind. Was it the parents? Did the person sin before they were born? Did they sin in utero? Jesus says, the issue is not about sin. It's about making the most of a chance to do God's work. It's about an opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate he is the light of the world. It's an opportunity for him to show it's when we're in a loving relationship with Jesus, we see the world most clearly. So, Jesus spits in the dirt, makes mud, and puts it on the man's eyes. It seems odd to us, but Mud packs were a common practice in the ancient world. And then he sends the man to the Pool of Siloam, which means sent. And I'm sorry, but I have to just point out there's some really cool wordplay going on here. Did you catch that? Jesus, the one who has been sent from God, right, sends a man to a pool named Sent. That's just really cool. I wanted to point that out. So, what's that? The man does as he's told. He goes to the pool, he washes off the mud, and suddenly he can see. He goes home, and his neighbors see him. Now, did you notice? Did you notice this? No one rejoices. No one shouts hooray or praise God. How very odd. You would think, right? You would think they would be jumping up and down with joy. But all they do is ask how it happened. How odd. And how odd they seem so anxious. They don't know what to do. They know something is happening, but they can't put their finger on it. They can see a bit at the edge, but they can't see clearly. And so they take this man to the local learned people, and they take him to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees and the man go back and forth. What happened? Who did this? How can that be? And clearly, the Pharisees flummoxed. Is this a God thing or not? They know something is wrong. This is not a straightforward miracle they can get behind and support. It's a miracle, and that's good, but it happened on the Sabbath, and that's against the law, so it's bad. Or is it? Which is it? Is it both? It's like they're wearing sunglasses. And they can see a little daylight right at the edges, but they can't see what's clear as day in front of them. They can see a little something, but their sunglasses are preventing them from seeing what's really going on. Next, they drag in the parents. The parents are scared to death and don't help much, so they go back to the man. Give glory to God, they say. And that means tell the truth. That's what they're getting at. Tell the truth. Tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so the man does. And immediately everything goes sideways. They have a big yelling match, and they drive the man out of the synagogue. So why did they do that? Now, they know something's not right. They know something more than the law of Moses is at work. They know they're not seeing clearly. But they won't take the next step. They won't take off their sunglasses. They won't be beyond the law of Moses and see with clear eyes. They won't remove their sunglasses. Why not? Pride, perhaps? Are they arrogant? They're so used to being the smartest people in the room, they can't face not having all the answers. Maybe they don't want to change. They don't want to admit there is some power greater than the law of Moses. Or perhaps they just can't imagine anything more powerful, anything with a greater claim on them than the law of Moses. Maybe, they honestly believe they're right. They're convinced they know best. And of course, none are so blind as those who will not see. Or maybe they're just afraid of losing their status, afraid of the unknown. Do they remind you of anyone? maybe someone living on the edge of faith. They worship every couple of months. They think of us as their church. But they never really embrace it. They never embrace the Lord Jesus and worshiping and living their faith in a community of believers. Something is pulling at them, they know. They can see something they know is important and powerful and meaningful, but they won't take off their sunglasses and look at it clearly. When we see people like this, when we see people who are on the edge, they are on the edge of genuine faith, but they won't take that final step, we need to remember something. We are not sent to mock them or berate them the way the Pharisees and the man do to each other. We are sent to show others the joy of living clear-eyed. We are sent to live as people who see clearly. We are sent to live our lives in the world, seeing the world through the eyes of Jesus. We are sent to live lives that demonstrate what Jesus living looks like. We are sent into the world to encourage the world to remove their sunglasses. And there's nothing mysterious about how we do it. We've been talking about it for weeks. Watching out for the poor and the powerless. Being the peacemakers in our community. Living our faith like a city on a hill, visible for all to see. Not settling for what the world calls morality, but striving for a higher righteousness. When we're about to do that thing we know we shouldn't do, but we're about to do it anyway, stop asking, will this please God? If I do this, will it please God? When we see someone wandering around in darkness of spirit, pointing them towards the light of the world, when a friend shares that they are dying of spiritual thirst, taking them to Jesus, the water of life. It would be easy, stop right here. It would be easy to finish by condemning anyone with Pharisaic compulsions to jam their sunglasses on their nose, when they could live in the brilliant light of God's love. But before we do that, let's take a moment to look at ourselves. Sunglasses can be seductive. We want to fit in. We want to be accepted. And it's not hard. As ZZ Top memorably said, all you need is a pair of cheap sunglasses. All we need to do is put on our sunglasses and blind ourselves to the suffering of others. Accept our biases and prejudices as normal. Settle for everyday morality instead of a higher righteousness. Leave the poor and powerless to fend for themselves. Cheap sunglasses are easy to find. We might even look cool. But we'll spend our lives stumbling and falling in despair. Fortunately, we know better. We know better because we know Jesus. Because we see the world through His eyes. Because we know how much God loves us. In the early church, this text was often used at baptisms. And most people at that time were baptized as adults. And they would spend usually 3 days. 3 days in prayer and fasting and preparing. And on the third day, as part of the worship service, they would recite the creed of their community. And then the leader would read this text with its emphasis on washing and trusting Jesus. In our baptisms, we are cleansed from sin. As we mature in faith, we see God's will for our living more and more clearly. And we just talked about it. Living our lives through the eyes of for all the world to see. It's tempting sometimes to put on those sunglasses. It's tempting to ignore Scripture and worship and the sorrows of the world and instead focus on our happiness, our joy, our power and prestige. But serious danger lies in that direction. The world can be a dark place. We need all the light we can get. Our lesson tells us Jesus is the light of the world. May we walk in His loving light and share His light with others. Amen. Will you join me, please, in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, who sent us Jesus to be the light of the world, the light that throws all the deep chasms, all the steep cliffs, all the dangerous plants and roadside hazards, the one who throws them all in sharp relief through the brightness of His love. We pray today for those who are traveling. We ask that they will not only travel safely, but travel well. Take the time to enjoy the trip. Be at peace with those whom they are visiting. To have good leave taking. To come back refreshed. We thank You that spring finally seems to be just around the corner. We pray, Lord, for those who will soon be busy out in the field, caring for animals, perhaps looking for work for the summer, those who would be migrating to the next crop, the next field, whether it be a few miles or a few days down the road. We ask Your blessings on so many troubled places in the world. You know them, we know them. We know the heartache. And we pray that those in positions of authority will take off whatever sunglasses of indifference or nationalistic overweening pride, or maybe just the desire for power. Take off those sunglasses that are blinding them to the reality and pain of other people's suffering. Gracious God, help us see how to live. Help us take off the sunglasses of indifference, the sunglasses of not caring, maybe, or maybe the sunglasses of busyness and bitterness and wilderness at how to live in this world. And let us see clearly the way that we should go. Let us live even as your Son taught us, when he taught us to pray by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.